कृष्णा। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू टू यूनिक होली प्लेस टुडे इन साउथ इंडिया विच इज कॉल्ड एज मूलिका क्षेत्र एंड इन लोकल लैंग्वेज वी कॉल इट एज मुल्की। दिस मुल्की इज 25 किलोमीटर साउथ फ्रॉम उडुपी एंड 25 किलोमीटर नॉर्थ फ्रॉम मैंगलोर। सो वन कैन कम बाय ट्रेन टू उडुपी स्टेशन, देन कम टू उडुपी बस स्टैंड एंड देन टेक अ सिटी बस टू मुल्की। आफ्टर गेटिंग डाउन टू मुल्की बस स्टैंड यू हैव टू टेक ऑटो रिक्शा फॉर 1 किलोमीटर ओनली। देन यू कम अक्रॉस अ ब्यूटिफुल कॉम्प्लेक्स ऑफ 25 to 30 acres settled at the banks of the holy river called Shambhavi river. Very beautiful wide river with trillions of coconut trees. If you come from Mangalore airport or Mangalore central station, again you come from there to Mangalore bus stand, take the city bus and travel northwards 25 kilometers. It just takes 1 hour. Get down, take auto rickshaw and go to Mulki. Mulki is very famous for Ugra Narsimha Mandir. Very ancient connection to Satyayuga story of Prahlad and Bali Maharaj. Typically, the Gauda Saraswat Brahman temples are having a structure of many circles. One larger circle outside, then some housing structure encircling the temple complex, another inner circle, then inner circle, and the final inner circle is the temple. And the temple has Rath Yatra's area. And then there are 7 silver doors and inside that there is a DT room or Garbhagriha. In the main circle of temple there are 4 DTs, usually Hanumanji, Garudji, Ganeshji and one of the Devi will be there. Either Saraswati, Kali or Durga or Lakshmi, one of the Devi will be there. So these 4 small temples will be always there around the main central Garbhagriha. And each Garbhagriha will have silver pedestal and there will be 3 levels of DT positions. So in this temple of Mulki, the highest level we have Lord Venkatramana with Lakshmi Devi. And then we have in the central position Lord Ugra Narsimha, for which this temple is famous for. And on the lower level we have Lord Bindu Madhava with Bhu Devi and Sri Devi. And on the ground level of the Garbhagriha, there is Vyasadeva Murti. There are 2 Panduranga Murtis and there is a big Narsimha Taligram Shila. This is the whole temple structure. Now, the story of how the deities came there. So, first of all, the Lord Venkatramana came to this temple. In essence, all the 3 deities, all the other deities, small deities, they all came from somewhere to this place. So this place is a Tirtha because the deities have come from outside to this place to perform pastimes. The first, the Karakala, there is another area called Karkala, which is on eastern direction, mountainous area. We come from Udupi and take left turn to east direction. And there on the mountain, this Karakala is there. This Karakala also has a Venkatramana temple. And one time, there was attack of the enemies to Karakala area. So with the fear of the enemies, the Purohits of the Karakala Venkatramana temple picked the deities up and went to Mulki. And they put the deity in the well in Mulki. Everybody knew that for the protection from the Shatru, that is the enemies, they had kept the deity in the well. In the course of time, the war ended, everything was peaceful. So the Brahmins from Karakala came to pick up the deity from the well of Mulki. And they just couldn't find it. After doing a lot of efforts, they just could not find it. And they went away unsuccessful and they were very sorry also. But what they could do? Few days later, the Mulki Brahmins, they tried from their side in the well to search the deity, and they immediately found the Venkatramana deity. The news spread to Karkala, and the Karkala Brahmins came to claim the deity. But that time the Mulki Brahmins said that, "We have found it, you could not find it, so we are not going to give you." The Karkala Brahmins said that, "It's our deity anyways, whether you found or we found. Please give us back." And this particular discussion, the disagreement, could not be concluded. That night, Lord Venkatramana appeared in the dreams of both the parties, Karkala Brahmins and the Mulki Brahmins, and he told them that, "I want to stay in Mulki." And he also said that, "Do not send me to Karkala." And he also said that one sadhu will come with another deity of Venkatramana, my own deity, and he will reach Karkala and he'll offer you my deity. That deity you establish in Karkala temple. So this deity was placed in Mulki, and sure enough, in 2-3 days time, a sadhu, unknown sadhu, arrived in Karkala, and he offered the Brahmins the deity of Venkatramana. They were very happy that the Lord's drishtanta given in the dream was true, so they were very happy, and they established that deity in Karkala temple, and the worship started there as usual. Now, there is one story in Treta Yuga, that you know Ravan, he did tapasya and he got lot of boons from Lord Shiva, and the first thing after getting lot of boons and powers from Lord Shiva, he attacked his step brother, that is Kubera, who was a treasurer of demigods. He attacked him, he defeated him, and he snatched lot of wealth and most important Pushpak Viman. And with that Pushpak Viman, he was flying back, and a lot of other nonsense activities he did on the way, for which he got a lot of sins on his account. When he was coming towards south direction, suddenly he thought Lanka has come. So he got down from the air on the land. And what he saw, to his great surprise, it was a beautiful land, as much opulent as Lanka. But there was only one difference. There were no demons, there were human beings over there. There were Manav Samaj was there. So he soon realized that it is not his Lanka, but he was very pleased. So what he did, he established a Shivalinga in a village called Puduppanamburu. He also established a Lakshmi temple there. And he flew back to Lanka. Then after that, the war was there between Ram and Lakshman and Ravana. And Lakshman was hit with the Shakti of Indrajit. And then Hanumanji was told that he has to get Sanjeevani booty from a particular mountain in the Himalayas. So Hanumanji was flying back with the mountain of Sanjeevani, entire mountain. And suddenly he got down on the land thinking that Lanka has come. But again, where Ravan had got down, Hanumanji has got down in the same place. So Hanuman also was very happy and bewildered and very mesmerized and amazed to see the opulence and beauty of this place. So he named this place as Voda Lanka. Voda means inner, Antar Lanka. Lanka, but it is different kind of Lanka. Now this place where he got down is also called as Vaige Gunde in Chitrapu village. And he saw that deity of Lord Shiva and Lakshmi Mandira. And again he flew back because there was no time to much spend there. So he flew back to Lanka and then Lakshman was revived. So this is the history that Hanumanji named this place as Voda Lanka. You can say as a Prati Lanka or a substitute Lanka, as much as Lanka. So this place has such wealth, such natural wealth, such opulence. Now, in 1509, what I told you about Karkala Venkatramana was established in Mulki. In the same year, Lord Ugra Narsingha came there. Now, I will tell you the story. It's a long story connected to Satya Yuga, in which first of all Lord Narsimhadev appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad ji somehow was blessed by the Lord when all that pastime took place. And Lord Narsimhadev spent some time with Prahlada, taught him yoga, so he is Yoga Narsimha. And there are so many 9 Narsimha forms which did pastimes with Prahlad after Hiranyakashipu was killed. And when the time came to Narsimhadev to depart, to end his pastime, Prahlad was very emotional. He said, "My Lord, I will not be able to stay without you, without your association. I am attached to you." So at that time, Narsimha Bhagwan instantly of his own, which is Ugra Narasimha, a small deity which is about 5 inches in size at the most, with right leg bent in the knee and left leg on the right leg, which is bent, creating a bed. And Hiranyakashipu on that bed, two arms were holding Hiranyakashipu, two arms were tearing the abdomen apart, and two arms were wearing the intestine as garlands, and two arms were holding Shankha and Padma. This beautiful deity was given by Lord Narasimha Dev to Prahlad, and he told, please worship this deity. With this form of deity, I will be always with you, so you will not feel my separation. This was in Satyayuga. Somehow the pastime continued, and Prahlad ji continued worshipping. Then he gave birth to Virochana. Virochana gave birth to Mahabali, the great devotee of the Lord. Mahabali, disciple of Shukracharya, performed great austerities and conquered the demigods. And then, to conquer him, to cheat him, Lord took birth as Vamanadeva. And all of us know that when Vamanadeva appeared, Bali Maharaj stood up, was totally in awe and reverence to the effulgence of this Brahmana boy, and he was very amazed. He offered Dakshina to this Brahmana boy at the end of his yajna, after offering him obeisances. And Vamanadeva said, we all know the story that he asked for three steps of land, and then Vamanadeva grew into Trivikram size and Trivikram appearance, and covered the middle and upper, all planetary systems, all 14 planetary systems, which was owned by Bali Maharaj by his two steps only. And then third step was remaining, and naturally Bali Maharaj surrendered his own self, surrendered his false ego at the feet of the Lord, and the Lord was so happy with his Atma Nivedanam. And like never before, Lord blessed Bali Maharaj one after another with so many blessings. One of the blessings was that Lord said that I will give you Sutal Loka, which will be more opulent than Indra Loka also. Indra's Amravati will be appearing to be Nisteja, losing its luster. And first Indra will only be envious of you. So to protect you from Indra and the demigods, I will send my Sudarshan Chakra to protect your Sutal Loka, your kingdom. And then you will not be affected by, you will not be affected by any demoniac influences on your consciousness. Although you will live amongst all demoniac family, for 36,000 you will rule graciously and gloriously the Sutal Loka. At the end of 36,000 years, you will become the Indra as you desired by performing the 100 yajnas. Additionally, I will come myself and become your doorkeeper of Sutal Loka. Now, amazingly and interestingly, Prahlad Maharaj also was there on the scene to see the glorious blessings that was received by his grandson, Mahabali. So he was witnessing right from beginning with his personal presence, and Vamandeva was just pouring blessings on him. But when Prahlad Maharaj heard that Vamandev, his worshipable Lord Vishnu, who is himself going to go and stay at Sutal Loka as doorkeeper, Prahlad thought, now I will not worship this deity anymore. I will go with the Lord. And Lord also said, you come with me. We will both sit at the door of Mahabali's palace and glorify Mahabali. So at that very moment, Prahlad Maharaj handed this deity of his own to some devotee there. And then mysteriously, Lord went to Sutal Loka, Prahlad went to Sutal Loka, and both of them sat down there and glorified at the gate of the palace. They glorified King Mahabali. Now, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga came. This deity went in the hand of a devotee in Cochin, in South India, Kerala. And he worshipped him for a long time, and then at that time, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya Acharya, Swami Vijayendra Tirtha, from the famous Digvijayi, spiritual Digvijayi Swami, he was performing his spiritual Digvijayi in South India, and he was traversing from Cochin area. When he was walking by foot, he came across a well and he saw a snake on that well. That snake was doing something very mystical movements, which attracted the attention of Swami Vijayendra Tirtha. And he was amazed. By his spiritual intuition, he understood that there is something great divine thing in this well. So he told his followers and disciples that, please search in this well. There is something in the well. And sure enough, the disciples found Ugra Narasimha deity, which I described to all of you, the way Lord Narasimha Dev had given Prahlad Maharaj. The same deity was found there in the well in the Cochin. Now, Swami Vijayendra was very happy. He took the deity to his ashram and the banks of the ocean, Narebek Ocean. But after starting worshipping the deity of Narasimha Dev, if there was the slightest deviation, slight mistake, there will be fire and there will be fights in the ashram. Now this happened once, this happened twice, this happened thrice, this happened many times, and finally this sincere, pure devotee Swami Vijayendra Tirtha, the Acharya of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, he got frustrated. He thought, I am so fallen, I am so degraded that I can't serve you, my lord. Please let me commit suicide. I will take you in my hands and I will jump in the ocean and end my life because I cannot please you. Every time I do, there is some mistake in your worship and you are not pleased with me. At that time, very mercifully, this Lord Ugra Narasimha Dev spoke to Swami Vijayendra Tirtha. He said, my dear devotee, actually, I want to stay in Mulika Kshetra. I do not want to stay here. So please take me from this place to my desired place, that is Mulki. So Swamiji immediately wound up everything, took the deity on his head, and ceremoniously with his followers, he started walking by foot to north direction from Cochin to Mangalore and further to Mulki. And it took him many days. Every day he would walk for the whole day by foot and then stay at some devotee's house at night, and again in the morning after Pratar Vidhi, he would start walking. So after a few days of walking, he came to the place called Kodupanamburu, where Ravana had established Shivalinga, where Hanumanji also had arrived one night. This is just 12 kilometers from actual Mulki, in the place called Hoyega Gunde. Now, when he reached that place called Kodupanamburu in Hoyega Gunde, it was evening time. So time to retire and take rest and again start next morning. But technically it was only 12 kilometers. So, but still they thought it's evening time, we will not travel in the night. That time there was a Jain king and he had a big palace in Kodupanamburu. So they approached, Swamiji approached the king and said, can we get shelter in the night today? So the king, very surprisingly, you know, started asking questions, telling his lack of faith in the Swamiji. He said, who are you? From where you have come? Why you have come? Where you want to go? Why you want to stay here? He was like expressing his lack of faith, lack of trust on that Swamiji. So Swamiji said, well, then I would like to go. What you can do is, if I am not going to stay here, it's okay. You give us one torch light, one mashal, with one flame, so that in the dark we will like to walk in some light and we'll reach our destination very soon. But the king even refused to give the flame also. At that time, Swami Vijayendra Tirtha got the feelings inside the heart that this king is such an inauspicious person. I don't even want to stay here one moment. Even though it is night, I will walk in the night, but I will not take shelter at this place because the Lord is not welcomed over here. I don't want to stay here. And he left that place. He was not disgusted or angry, but he thought, I should rather leave. And he started walking away. As soon as he left the palace and walked little away, the whole palace went ablaze. It took up flames, fire took up, and the flames engulfed the whole palace. And such a huge flame was created by the fire, by consuming the palace, that it was suitable or enough to light the 12 kilometers path all the way towards Mulki. It was such a big fire, it was such a big light created by that fire flame. And taking advantage of the light created by the fire flame, the Swamiji walked very, very fast, and in the middle of the night, they they reached Mulki. And as soon as they reached Mulki in the middle of the night, they went to a devotee's house, they stayed there, and the flame got extinguished. Now, another very unusual thing started happening in Mulki. When they reached Mulki, they saw Sambhavi River, everything was fine. The place was the same place what they had destined to reach. But wherever Swamiji stayed, there was fire, and there was quarrel. Swamiji, by previous experience, understood that we have not reached the right location in Mulki. So they kept on changing places, and the fire kept on happening. Finally, when they came at the bank of Sambhavi River, where the temple is currently standing, when the Lord was put there, all the fire stopped, everything was peaceful. So on the Datta Purnima, Margashirsha Purnima of that year, 1577, I think 1569, in the month of Margashirsha Purnima, there is the appearance day of Lord Dattatreya. On that day, which is called as Pratishthe Punnav in Kannada language, that means the Purnima on which the Pratishthapana, the establishment, the installation of the Lord was done. There was a very huge ceremony where Lord Venkatramana was already existing. On the second level of pedestal, Govardhan Narasimha was established. Very, very beautiful festival was there. And then, after a few days, the king wanted to repair his palace, which was burnt by fire. So he ordered best quality of fresh wood from outside Kodupanamburu. And as soon as that fresh cut wood would enter the borders of Kodupanamburu, they would appear like totally burnt, like almost ashes. So he got tons of wood from outside. But as soon as it all wood entered inside the border of Kodupanamburu, it used to appear like burnt. So then the king was puzzled. Something mysterious was happening. So he called his Raja Purohit. And he inquired from Raja Purohit, "My dear Guru Maharaj, please tell me, what is this mystical thing happening?" So at that time, the Raja Guru told him that you have offended a pure devotee of the Lord. At that time, the king understood that there was a sadhu who came to my palace for shelter. And finally, at least he asked for one flame, but I refused shelter, I refused any service, I refused even giving flame also. And that he remembered that very day, the flame of the fire consumed his palace. So all the thing was put in place. He understood that he offended a great devotee of the Lord. So he came running to Mulki. Swamiji came to know that king is coming to apologize. Sadhus are very merciful. You know that sadhus are always merciful. They don't take any offense. They take everything as Lord's sweet desire. Although unpleasant or not palatable or not pleasurable, they understand that everything is ordained by the Lord by His sweet will for ultimate welfare of every living entity. So there was no grudge in the heart of a pure devotee, Swami Vijayendra Tirtha. But the king fell at the feet and he had a request. He said, "Swamiji, you came with the Lord to my house. I could not serve the Lord, I could not serve you, I couldn't serve anybody. So I request you, now I have understood my mistake. Now, please come with the deity of Narasimha to my palace. Let me host you, let me host the Lord, and let me host all the residents of Mulki village, all the devotees. Please bestow this one benediction on me. I want to have a big Mahotsav for all Mulki Nivasis, and I want to have Mahotsav for Lord Narasimha and for your pleasure." So when he got pardon from Swami Vijayendra Tirtha, when he went back, his palace got mysteriously repaired. All the wood which was getting burnt, like burnt, it all remained good. And he soon repaired his palace, and he again invited on an auspicious day. And Swamiji had told that once I establish a deity, I cannot take that deity away from that place. I'll have to take a Utsav Murti, a Vijay Murti. So with the Vijay Murti on an auspicious day, they decided to visit Kodupanamburu. And everybody, Swamiji again took the Utsav Murti on his head. All the followers, and they played music and the songs and in the glorification of the Lord. And by foot they travelled all the way 12 kilometers to this palace, which was newly now renovated. The king received them, and there was a big festival, and all the Mulki residents, thousands of people had gone by foot. They were all hosted by the king of Kodupanamburu, and there was a festival, Abhishekam, and a lot of offerings, and everybody was fed nice Mahaprasadam. They spent the night there, and they came back. Today also, on a particular day on which Vijayendra Tirtha Maharaj had gone with the deity there, today also there is a festival in Kodupanamburu, once in a year on that day. Now what happened? Once upon a time when the regular custom was going on, people would walk. Of course, they would walk through the forest and walk through the fields also. So one of the farmers, he got offended. He thought, people are going to walk through my farm and they are going to destroy my farm. So he spread thorns on their way that they should not come in there in his farm. So everybody got hurt. Thousands of devotees, they got hurt with these thorns. So instantly when this was happening, the house of that farmer got on fire. He completely burned. So he came to his senses. He understood that because of my offense to these devotees, because I troubled them unnecessarily in a selfish way, my house got burned. So he came running to Podupanamburu and fell at the feet of Swamiji and said, Swamiji, please forgive me. I made a mistake. I want to invite the Lord because Lord was coming through my field. I rejected him. His devotees, himself and you also. So Swamiji kindly again agreed. And from there onwards, every year when there is a festival in Podupanamburu, the deity also, you know, takes a halt at that place of the farmer. Then some offerings are done, some puja is done, some celebration is done, some service is done, and the Lord proceeds to Podupanamburu to have a full day festival. So this is the story of how Ugra Narasimha came there. Now I will tell you some more pastimes of Ugra Narasimha. But before that I will tell how Lord Bindu Madhava, the third deity, came there. Now there was a descendant of Swami Vijayendra Tirtha, whose name was Swami Madhavendra Tirtha. He is different from Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is just before two generations of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is way before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhavendra Puri. There was Swami Rajendra Tirtha was there, who was disciple of Swami Vijayendra Tirtha. And from Vijayendra Tirtha, there was a Madhavendra Tirtha. So Madhavendra Tirtha Swami was in Kashi because Gaudas Brahman, Saraswat Brahmin community hails from actually Kashi Math. They have a big establishment in Kashi. So there is a temple of Lord Bindu Madhava. There's a story, there are two stories are there. One story is that when Lord Vishnu became Mohini Devi, and Lord Mohini Devi in the form of Mohini Devi, she was distributing Amruta, the nectar to all demigods. At that time it is said one drop of nectar was stuck to the hands of Mohini, which when Mohini turned into Madhav, it was there also. So that's how the Lord got the name Bindu Madhava, the Bindu of nectar which the Lord had on his palm. So Lord Bindu Madhava resided in Kashi. But when the attack of Muslims was there, at that time Swami Madhavendra Tirtha brought this deity of Bindu Madhava all the way down to Mulki. And then Lord Bindu Madhava was established at the third level of pedestal, on the silver pedestal, he was established there. Another name, a story was there, that there was a devotee called Agni Bindu of Lord Madhava of Kashi. So Lord was very, very pleased with his devotion, and Lord said that I will attach your partial name to my name. Your name is Agni Bindu. I will attach the Bindu part of your name to my name. And that is also another reason why Madhava was named as Bindu Madhava. And thus, after 200 years, in 1777, the deity of Bindu Madhava was brought to Mulki temple. Now, as I told you before, that wherever in other places where Lord Ugra Narasimha was kept, there was fire. Now, one time, for the pleasure of the Lord, they arranged a drama. Like we perform drama festival every year, we have different Bhagavatam dramas, even Puranic dramas, historic dramas, spiritual dramas, for the pleasure of devotees and the Lord. So on the Narasimha Chaturdashi day, on the appearance day of Lord Narasimha, they decided to perform a drama of Prahlad and Narasimha and Hiranyakashipu. All the script was written, all the acting practice was done, the characters were chosen, who will become Narasimha Dev, who will become Hiranyakashipu, who will become Prahlad, and everybody. And on the day of Narasimha Chaturdashi, the drama started. Now amazingly, the drama was progressing very well. There were thousands of people watching the divine drama, and the time came for Narasimha Dev to kill Hiranyakashipu in the drama. So all of you know that Lord came and had a big fight with him since afternoon time until twilight time. They kept on fighting. When twilight time came, Lord Narasimha, respecting the all the boons given by Brahma. What are the boons? Not in day, not in night, not in the air, not in the water, not on the land, not with Shastra, not with the Astra, not with human beings, not with animals, not with birds, no other species of all those conditions were there. And at twilight time, the Lord took Hiranyakashipu on his lap by folding one leg on his right leg, creating a temporary bed in between, not in the air, not on the ground, not in the water. Twilight time, not in the morning. So all that drama was going on. Narasimha Dev, the person who became Narasimha Dev, took that person who became Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And at that moment of time, Narasimha Dev entered the body of the actor of Narasimha Dev. Now he had become actual Narasimha Dev. He was so ferocious, he was roaring like anything. It appeared like such a realistic drama. But actual Narasimha Dev had appeared. And Narasimha Dev actually tore apart the abdomen of the actor of Hiranyakashipu, took out the intestines and garlanded himself, and he was still roaring. And on the stage, Hiranyakashipu, the person who was taking the role, he died. It appeared like drama in the beginning. It was so realistic. But very soon the audience came to know that actually Hiranyakashipu, the person, was killed. There was a police case, and then the person who acted as Narasimha Dev, he didn't know anything. When his avesh went away, Lord entered him and Lord left. He was so exhausted, he didn't know what happened. They asked him, they interrogated him, and he couldn't say anything. He was, finally it was proved that he was innocent. He didn't know anything. It was all mysterious. And a lot of, you know, court and law and order, everything, when he was released. Because everybody understood that this is simply beyond his control. He didn't know anything. Now what happened? They performed from that time onward, they have never performed a Narasimha Leela drama in Milki. Until today, so many hundreds of years, so many millennia has passed. But in Milki village, there is no ever drama performed of Narasimha Leela. There is a norm there. Another norm there, that one time what happened, the Mulki people came to my house in Mumbai to raise some funds for renovation of temple, because I am from that village. So I gifted them Ugradham Narasimha photograph from our Mayapur temple of ISKCON, because our Mayapur temple of ISKCON has Ugradham Narasimha, which is not there in the free world, not even in Swargaloka. That kind of ferocious Ugradham Narasimha form. And similar kind of form is there in Mulki as Ugradham Narasimha. And there are villages after villages, not only Mulki, there are hundreds of villages in south direction and north direction from Mulki who are ardent devotees of Narasimha Bhagwan because of Ugradham Narasimha in Mulki. And the way they were describing in Konkani language the whole pastime of Narasimha Bhagwan was amazing. Their devotion, their faith, and their ardent feelings for Narasimha Bhagwan. To honor their feelings, I gifted them with a photograph of our Mayapur Narasimha. So they took it with great respect and honor. But they said that we'll have to give this calendar, this photograph to the temple only. We can hang this in temple wall only. I said, why? They said, in the village of Mulki, there are no Narasimha photographs hanging on the walls of any house. Why? Because the moment we hang any Narasimha picture or poster or calendar on our house walls, there is fire in the house and there are fights in the house. So all the gifts that we receive in the form of Narasimha photographs or calendar, we have to go and hang in the temple wall. So if you go to temple of Mulki, you'll find hundreds of calendars and photographs and pictures hanging on many walls of filled with pictures. Many walls filled with pictures. It's another mystical thing. And the Narasimha deity is so small that actually you don't appreciate when you take the darshan in front of the deity, because anyways there are seven gates, seven doors, one after another, silver doors. And after the seventh door, inside there is a small room where the deity exists. And the deity is only 4 to 5 inches tall. So what they have done, they have taken the deities out when they do the Narasimha Jayanti celebration. They take up the deities out, and they have taken a lot of pictures, and they have magnified to 10 times maybe, and that big picture is displayed on the wall, and everybody goes to the wall and appreciates the features of the deity. It has got big tongue coming out and all the beautiful features of wearing the intestine garland, tearing up with two arms, holding the two arms, Hiranyakashipu having on the right hand the sword hanging down towards the ground. And there are other deities of Bindu Madhava and Venkat Ramana and Sri Devi, Bhudevi, Vyasa Deva. So this is a mystic thing about this deity. And the two Panduranga deities, how did they come there? At one point of time, four families of Gauda, Saraswat, Brahmins were brought from different places to worship the deity. At that time, two of them had Panduranga deities as their home worshipping deities. So when they came with the deities and they said, we will also worship our Panduranga along with Ugra Narasimha, Venkat Ramana and Bindu Madhava. That is why there are two Panduranga deities standing at the feet of this pedestal. And there is Vyasadeva deity and also there is a Narasimha Shila, which are all worshipped together. Another unique nature of this place is there are many circles, and all these circles are having residences of all the Brahminical priests who are entitled to serve the deities. They have their turns. So all the 25-30 families are given residences in the whole 25-30 acres area in circular form. All the circular forms are encircling the temple in between, and everybody stays around the temple. But in the middle, in the innermost temple circle, there is one circle where there is a well, and the kitchen is attached to that. And the rule is, only from that well water is fetched out, and that water is used to cook for the deity. And like Jagannath Puri, we know in Jagannath Puri, the whole big earthen pots are there, and then the rice and dal and sabjis and sweets and vegetables are cooked. And the same very pot is taken directly from fire to the Lord Jagannath and offered with love and devotion. Similarly, in the copper vessels or in bronze vessels, which we do kalai inside, only these vessels are utilized, like big handis. And in these handis, the upada rice and the sabjis and the coconut sabjis and so many things are traditionally cooked there. And straight the big pots are taken inside the temple room. And when the temple room is receiving those bhoga items, the parikrama path is closed because it comes in the middle of parikrama. Parikrama is stopped. The bhoga is transferred to the inner sanctorium. And straight the pots are kept and tulsi is offered and mantras are offered, and directly the food is offered. When the bhoga is many handis of many items, about 10 to 15 handis are offered, then the same handis are picked up and they are taken to Hanumanji, Garudji, Ganeshji and Deviji. And after that, amazingly, when you, if you at all reach there by 12:30, when Rajabhoga Aarti is there, after the bhoga is offered and then there is the Aarti of afternoon, whoever is present there, unknown, known, from Gauda Saraswat Brahmin caste or from whichever caste, whoever people are there from all walks of life, whoever is present there, they are all very lovingly invited to take lunch Mahaprasadam. Then they are all taken in the backyard of temple and sit on the ground and eat on the banana leaves. And very beautiful, typical, traditional South Indian food is cooked and extremely tasty, not necessary to tell you that. Very, very beautiful, lingering, sweet taste of that Mahaprasadam. In the evening also, when there is 7:30, Aarti is there. At that time also, whoever is present are invited to take free prasadam there. Amazingly and mysteriously, Lord Ugra Narasimha, Venkat Ramana, every day go on evening Rath Yatra. Sometimes they are in golden palanquin, sometimes they are in silver palanquin, sometimes they are on the golden chariot, fully solid gold chariot, or sometimes they are on the fully silver chariot. It's a grand festival, because there are many circles, so they go to bigger circles in the evening. They have a nice traditional sanai playing and ghatam playing, and they travel around, and every day there is a beautiful Rath Yatra ceremony. It's a grand ceremony, so every day. And for the village, it's an amazing thing. Everything ends in the temple. Any samasya, any troubles they have got, they will reach the temple and they will ask the Lord, and the pujaris will give them solutions. Our Indian tradition is such beautiful that there is no need opportunity to travel abroad or to do anything anywhere else but the village. The village is complete in itself. The deity of the village is the lord of the life of all the inhabitants of that village. Thus we see that culture is multi-village. Amazingly, on the day of the anniversary of Brahmotsava, whole day celebration is there. All the youngsters will come. Thousands of coconuts they will, you know, grate to create the bhoga and the sabjis and the sweets and everything. And then thousands of water coconuts, we call dab, you know, where we drink the coconut water. Those thousands of them are collected and they are broken, and Lord is given abhishek with thousands of coconuts of water. And whole night there is fireworks, there is big Rath Yatra, there is actual horses, elephants, musicians, they come, and the Lord is riding on the big chariot, and the largest circle, the first circle, that is the outermost circle, there Rath Yatra takes place. And I think lakhs and lakhs of people, hundreds and thousands of people come from all South India, from south side, from Cochin area, from north side, right from Gokarna, people gather there. It's a grand festival on Datta Purnima day every year. So this is the very beautiful history of Mulki, Mulika Kshetra. We can learn so many lessons from that. That the Lord had a desire, that when Prahladji went, the Lord had a desire to go and establish himself in South India. And that's how mystically he indicated with Pujendra Tirtha. The purity of the heart, Swamiji understood Lord's desire and carried him all the way. One more important lesson we can learn, that when sadhus come home, whenever we reject sadhus, don't serve them, don't show willingness to serve them, there has to be a disaster. So the king rejected the sadhu, rejected the Lord and his service, which was asked at the doorstep of his own house. But then, because of association of another nice devotee as Raj Purohit, he came to his senses and he begged pardon to Swamiji. Was relieved of the offense and got the service of the Lord back. So one has to surrender oneself to sadhu. Then we get relieved of our offenses. When the sadhu forgives, only when the sadhu forgives, we get relieved and the mercy of the Lord again falls upon us. So these beautiful pastimes of Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga and Kali Yuga are connected with this beautiful place. It's mostly unknown, but it is extremely famous in our Udupi, Mangalore area, where called South Kanara, where all the Gaur Saraswat Brahmins, the Bunds, the Tulu speaking people, the Kannada speaking people, the Shivalli Brahmins, all of them are residing there together. And it's a very beautiful holy place established at the bank of Shambhavi River. So with these few words, we will end our Mulki. We wish that all of you will be able to reach as soon as possible. Whenever you go to Udupi, it's just 1 hour distance from there. Please do visit this beautiful place and listen to the pastimes of the Lord and have darshan. I have forgotten to mention one more thing, that there are so many godowns there of golden and diamond jewelry of the Lord. All are preserved in around the circles of the temple itself. You have darshan of all those things, the paraphernalia, the chariots, the gold, the silver, the palanquins, all of them are beautifully restored there in the glass showrooms, and you can see, and they also come out at the festival times. So do visit Mulki. All the best to all of you. Hare Krishna, and thank you very much. Yes, Prabhuji. So okay ho gaya na aaj abhi?
Okay.
Thank you. So I'll close now, huh, Prabhuji? Thank you. Hari Bol.